Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Toledo, your host on Dent Time PDR, a podcast about PDR training, tutorials, interviews, and much more. So get something to eat, drink, and start pushing. It's time to listen. Hey, what's up, everybody? Yes, of course, we are back for episode 5, and I have a guest with me, a special guest, Don Cavanaugh. Don, welcome, man. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm glad you are here because you know what? I really met you at MTE during PDR College a little bit there. And then you attended the Mega Media event. And then we really hung out and we got to know each other. And you're just one humble guy, man. I love meeting guys like you. And you know what? More surprisingly, I love guys who don't talk about how good they are or all kinds of stuff, you know. And I look at your work, and you're a phenomenal tech. I mean, your repairs are super clean.
Oh, thanks, man.
Really, really, I really admire your work. It's just super nice. You're putting yourself out there. You're promoting yourself. You're not a spring chicken like me. I'm not a spring chicken. So, and you're out there. You're doing it, man. No, so
been at it a long time, man. 28 years. I can't believe it myself, but I just love going to work every day.
I know. Isn't it great?
It is. It's so great. You know, it's so awesome at the end of the day when everything you've touched and every customer that have come to pick up their rides are actually ecstatic. It's easy to feel good about something when we're not curing cancer, but I'll tell you what, we're curing some relationships. I feel like sometimes, I don't know if you get this, Mike, but we haven't talked about this, but I was going to ask you, do you kind of feel like you're a marriage counselor sometime? The wife takes the car, you know, she puts a dent in the damn thing and she brings it in and says, my husband, I told him, you know, he always parks so far away. I took the car. Why, you know, while he was out of town, I got a dent. I go, I'll pay you cash. Okay. I got to get it done, you know? And I just love those things.
Yep. Yep. And the gratitude that people just, they're just so thankful that you saved their whatever, their butt, their baby. You restored their vehicle back. They're thinking, man, I gotta go to the body shop. I gotta make a claim. I gotta do all this stuff that you know that's in their head, and then they finally just take a chance with finding you, and you just basically answer their question, turn a nightmare into a friggin' daydream. So
right, you know? Get it back the same day, not a week in a body shop, and that Carfax, and all those great things that we do every day. It's cool.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our topic is like old versus new. Like how was the old days compared to the new days? And then we're gonna talk about Don. Like, you know, I'm sure you think about this as I'm gonna talk about just a little tech tip. Is there anything you would do different? You know, and you guys can think, you listeners, ladies and gentlemen, think about what would you do different leading up to PDR? What would you do now different that you know you should have learned or knew back then? So I'm going to give a tech tip. It's always usually some kind of business tech tip I try to give, something that people can put together or use right away. And you might have heard this one already, Don. But we're already talking about Google Local, okay? So if you're in your business, business, you got to have a Google Local. I don't want to get in too deep of it, but you should already be aware of having Google Local. But one thing I've been doing is making sure I make posts, okay, on my Google Local because it stands out on top of your normal local page. Not just, you know, DentCraft, but you could have a picture before and after on top of that, and it stands out even more. And now I'm going to give you another tip on top of that. When you're describing it, do it with your phone, because I think that's what you can do anyways, because you can download the app called Business Local from Google. And as you're typing, you can put those emojis in there. So I do, I got dents, right? Type in got dents, and I put like a sad face and he's crying, right? An emoji. And I said, we can help. And it goes two thumbs and a fist bump and a smiley face, because it actually helps stand out in the ad too. So not only, it takes up more real estate on the searches too, and it draws attention. And I think it's a definitely win. So if you guys are out there, have a Google Local page and you're not taking advantage of what it can do for you, I would definitely do that.
So. Absolutely. That sounds great. I need to do that. I don't do that enough.
Yeah. You know what? Google Local is like a, it's like a, your own blog. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it like, and they make you post every week. Well, they don't make you, they remind you to post every week. Otherwise it falls off. So.
Oh, interesting.
And shoot, Google, if Google's asking to do it and they're saying, hey, we'll help your company better if you do some more posts, man, why wouldn't you want to do it? It's free.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So. Love it. Love it. I'll have to do that one for sure. I'm not actually doing that. I do some Google AdWords, but I love this angle.
Yeah. Yeah. Google, you know, some people don't need Google AdWords though. You know, some people just stay really busy and think that's actually really great. If you don't have to pay for Google AdWords, don't, because it's getting expensive. It's getting very expensive.
It's ridiculous.
So anyhow, Don, so let's talk about this topic, man. So let's talk a little bit about your history. How did you start? Like, who trained you? What happened?
So basically for me, I was in the underwater welding and demolition field, and that's what I went to college for. And I didn't excel in it. I just wanted to get out of it. It was just too dangerous. So kind of came back to Minnesota with my tail between my legs. I was actually out by you actually, like doing all that stuff and on the coast, and it was great. But I moved back and I got a job at a Mercedes BMW dealership. And there was an old German guy that about a year in that started coming in. His name was Jürgen Holzer, and he learned in the BMW factory in Munich in the 60s and 70s. So it was kind of a pretty cool deal, but he came in and he was trying to sell his goods, and he'd come in, and I was a pretty young guy at that time, and I was a service writer, so he was trying to sell it to me. And I was like, dude, we got a body shop. I don't know what you're trying to sell here, you know? And one day he was really, really good. He said, can you come out? I had to be careful because he had a Mercedes. So every other time he came in, he wanted something done through our service department, uh-huh. or he wanted to try to sell his goods. So this day he asked me out to his car. He pulled out a hammer out of his trunk and he hit his driver's door with it. And I was like backing up going, what the hell are you doing? You know? And it's kind of funny, right? And so he did the same thing to the back door. So we had two dents in their car. He says, can I work right here? I want to show you what this is all about. So anyway, fast forward to it being done. The light bulb went off for me. I would start setting him stuff up every other week and get one customer, two customers, three customers. And I would beg him. The first time I saw it, I knew I wanted to do that. And it took me a few years of really begging him to train me. And he did. And that was kind of how I got into it. First time I'd ever seen it was at the dealership.
Let me ask you a question. How much time did he spend with you during your training?
So I actually spent 2 years with this guy.
Wow.
Yeah. So the original deal was crazy. You guys that are getting trained now have it made. He wanted, and he got it, $50,000 for 2 months. It was 8 weeks. And I went and did it, and I didn't know how I was going to come up with money. I did it, but I got it done. But it was interesting because he ended up asking me to stay. So I ended up staying for a longer period of time. But back then, he said, never do anything bigger than the size of the palm of your hand because you'll never make money at it. Don't do body lines. Stay on the flats. Get in and get out and charge what you will. And so we started having a little bit of a riff because I thought, why couldn't you do bigger things, right? So I would take stuff on and we would start doing body lines and he would be like kind of amazed. So we actually learned a lot from each other and just kept going forward. So that's basically how I got it. And it's really kind of self-taught after that because the guy really wasn't that great at it, you know? But it gave me the tools to figure out, you know, what we could do to get better, so.
It's amazing. It's kind of like the, first of all, thanks for enlightening me. I need to charge more for my training. And
me too.
But it's amazing that, you know, once you get your foot in the door, Don, I always say like, either you're going to be a great tech or you're going to be an average tech, or maybe you won't be an average tech, you know, maybe you'll just want to just get by, but I don't see guys like that lasting very long in the industry. So
I agree 100%.
It's either you love this job and you have passion for it and it reflects, you know, obviously in your work and your reputation, but that's very cool. So you're a proven point at what I mentioned. So Back in the day, now, what kind of tools did you have back then?
So this was the deal. The first 2-3 weeks of training, he taught me how to be a blacksmith, and I was already a welder, you know, mind you, topside and underwater. So I was pretty good around tools, but I really hadn't made tools. So I never even saw a tool truck or a tool catalog for 10 years. So we made every single tool by hand. So I've still got a lot of these old school tools that I still use every day. And I really should probably do something with them because there's some pretty cool stuff in there. And I just have never thought about, you know, marketing like everybody else does. And it's kind of cool. And I've always kind of kept that to myself. But, you know, he taught me with a hammer. I've never used a knockdown. I don't even know. I look at them and they're super cool, but I'm a hammer guy. You know, it's all I've done, you know, my whole career. So I didn't even see a knockdown until I was 10 years in.
Wow.
It's really different for me. You know, I'm just that blender guy, you know, so that was different as I find out, right? But now that I train guys and I've been training for many years, I can get them with a knockdown way quicker than, you know, the hammer.
Yeah.
You know, I do train with that too, but it is amazing, you know, and I do like a knockdown once in a blue moon. I actually go and borrow them from the guys if there's something right next to a door handle and I can't get my hammer in there, and it's pretty awesome, you know, it really is. So it's great. But those old fluorescent lights, Mike, oh, remember how your eyes used to water and
oh, yeah.
You couldn't even see what the hell you were working on? These new lights have been incredible, you know, because I've trained for so long. I see my trainees just going to the next level and seeing themselves, maybe that first, second day, really seeing that tool tip. I remember struggling for a week or two, like just, you know, like, oh my God, I'm crying here, you know,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Eye exhaustion. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
eye fatigue, and then your eyes start watering, you know, and then you start getting headaches because your eyes are just concentrating so hard. exactly. I was going to say, Don, how long did it take you to start getting, you know, getting comfortable doing dents? I mean, where did you say, like, at your point of career, like, you go, you know what? Because there was really nobody to really, like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with this guy and see how he's doing. Or I can go to a, you know, online, you know, dording.com at the time. There was
there wasn't.
When did you think, if you reflect back, when did you think that you're really grasping it and in cruise control?
You know, I think it really took a good couple years, honestly. I mean, I would be, you know, fibbing if I thought it was earlier than that, because you know, I didn't have anything, like you said, I didn't have anything to compare it to or anything else, but I remember going to dealerships and driving there like that first year, saying like an Our Father, you know, please let me be able to do this dent, you know, whatever. And I remember my first big smash in a roof rail. It was on an old Taurus and, you know, like a 19, you know, it's probably a 92 or something. And I didn't think of it on the way there. I saw the big smash in this thing and I got it out and I was driving home or back to the shop. And I thought to myself, wow, I think you got it, buddy. Cause you weren't, you know, giving it up to the universe saying, please help me. And you get there and it was a smash and I made it look great. And I was finally going, wow, I think I'm getting somewhere, you know?
Yep. And that's, what is it gonna, you said something here and I lost my train of thought on that as, For me personally, mine was 5 years. I didn't think, I was reflecting back on it. I was like, man, I didn't really know what the heck I was doing. I was actually, my name back then should have been Dent Different. So, seriously, man, I made dents different, dude. I didn't make them gone. I just made it different.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I remember, was with you.
Yeah. I did a dent for a body shop guy or what it was. And I go, well, how's it look? And he goes, well, it looks different, you know, and I was like crushed, you know, and I was like, man,
yeah.
All right, that's it, man. I gotta like, that's embarrassing. Why is he telling me it doesn't look as good, you know?
So, right.
Now, since then, cause we're going to talk about the past a little bit.
Sure.
What tool do you still use back then that you still use or still come close to using today?
So I've got and I shared that video with you, I've got a right and left hook that has been kind of copied a little bit, but I use those every day and they're just door tools and they're amazing. They're fixed handles. I've followed suit and I have to thank you on this. you posted some things, and I always take it to heart. And you've been in the business a long time, and I really like the Alter tools now. And I really think a bigger handle with the ratcheting handle that you can place differently would be even a better handle for those, because these go out straight, you know, like a J hook. And I really love now how I'm going backwards and, you know, pushing more than coming around the front. Yeah. And I'm like, I got to thank you for that, because I don't know why, but it's taken me 25 years to realize, wow, there's other ways, you know? So I am pretty humble, and I've always said, you know, my dad used to tell me, the day you think you know everything, son, is the day you will not learn another. Yep. Right. Yep. So I'm watching your videos and doing different things before I had a chance to hang with you, which was really fun down there, man. Your birthday, all that stuff was great. But, you know, it's just amazing how these different techniques with us older guys, right, that are getting better and better and working. It's kind of like the saying that Stanliner has, right? You know, work.
I was just going to get to that, but
harder, man.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. We're gonna cover that.
Yeah, cool.
I want to still go back on what you're saying on your tools. Can you give a better description of what you meant by this tool that you're using?
So I know
what you mean, but not the audience.
Yeah, of course. So they're like just regular 20-inch tools, the old J hook tools. They have a little bit more of I wish I had one. I came home, you know, instead. I wish I could show it. But it's just a right and left hook. The ends of them are kind of like this. So right side, you know, you can use it like this, yeah. And left side. And then you can actually flip them over and get, and this isn't going to make much sense to a lot of people. You can get in between the braces and use the, you know, and they're back just end. So amazing. Yeah, you can do them backwards. So
Don, why don't you, when you get a chance after this show,
you
send me a picture of those when you get a chance. And then I'm going to post it on the podcast.
Sure.
Link here. If you guys want to know what he's talking about, go to denttimepdr.com. One other thing, Don, what is your name of your company and what's your website?
So, the name of the company is Dentcraft with a K.
Okay.
And the website is Dentcraft with a K, of course, PDR.com.
Cool.
Dentcraftpdr.com. And then Instagram, if you want to follow us, we just hit this amazing 1,000. I showed that with you, but we finally hit 1,000 Instagram followers, and that's really cool for me, and I love it. But it's Dent_craft there.
Cool. Good deal. Did you listen to my podcast about Instagram?
You know, I'm going to have to go back and do that. When was that?
That was another tech tip on there. So I said it on PDR Tool Time because I was on there last night, which will be on next week. But the listeners are actually here this sooner, though. Okay. I'm just going to reiterate. But are you an iPhone user or what are you?
I am an iPhone guy.
Okay, then you're in good hands. Not saying that iOS, the Android guys aren't, but sure. I download that this app called Command. Okay. And that's an analytics for your Instagram, and it will analyze and say, okay, it'll rate you A, B, C, D, like what you're doing. And it'll give you suggestions on how to make your Instagram, more viral, shall I say, and more, you know, just get more everything, like get more, people to talk about it and more, subscribers to you. So
love it.
It's great.
So
it's a powerful thing.
Command.
Yeah. You know, what a lot of people don't do, and including me, I'm as guilty as what I'm going to say, is that I didn't put my city in there. I didn't put the location where I was doing the repairs at. Mm-hmm. And I was just leaving it blank. I was just popping in stuff and, you know, and doing a quick reply, you know, and having all that stuff in there. But I was missing some, like, three main key points. So go check that out. Command.
I will.
Sorry, we got a little off topic there, but I just wanted to bring it up.
That's all good.
As far as what do you see? Now we're going to kind of go in a little bit of the future a little bit.
Sure.
We're going to talk about Stanliners too, but what do you see, Don, like PDR going? It's going so damn rapidly, like the techs, the way they learn faster now, the tools, look at the tools now because of Stanliner, like we're saying, but where do you see it going?
I really believe that in our area anyway, in Minneapolis, we have a really big area. but I see it going more to retail, and I got rid of all the dealerships and everything about 6 years ago. And it was just so, it was so hard to, I was always being, I didn't feel good about it. You know, I felt like I was always being blackmailed. Hey, this guy will do for that. If you don't do it, you're out of here. And I just got sick of it. So I really feel your question as to retail. I just love what we do. I love it when it comes to me. I don't drive around and do these types of things. But we, I don't know about you, and I wanted to ask this question for a long time. Maybe one or two people out of 10 here in Minneapolis have even heard of paintless dent repair. I still feel that we're so ground floor. So I feel I see it going in a way of really an educational piece right now. And that's why your classes are so important to me. And that anybody out there listening needs to go to this mega media event. It opened my eyes in so many ways. I believe in it. I think it's wonderful. I can't say enough how good things, and the content you guys brought was crazy. I didn't even mean to plug this right now, but it was. And it was eye-opening to me, because this 2 out of 10 or 1 out of 10 people, we need to figure out a way to cast that fishing rod and get these guys in. People are painting their cars every day that don't need it. And we need to get in front of the body shops. You know, that's what my thing. If you go to my website, let us be your first stop for the body shop. It's the first thing you read. You know, we got to figure it out.
Which is awesome. So, that's a very good tagline right there, Don. You made a good point, and thank you for letting the audience know, and myself, how well you liked it. I didn't ask him to say that. That was on his own dime.
No. I don't even know where it came from. I just was thinking about how important, and it kind of ties in with what you're talking about here. It's amazing.
It is like, I agree with you, Don. I'm going to second you on that about the retail. I don't see wholesale becoming a, like I have four good accounts, but I always have it a feeling every week. Okay. Am I going to have the lot? And I've had them for 20 years. You know what I mean? It's just, and that's the reason why I have it, is because we have great service. We show up when we're supposed to, and we get the dents out, and we save their butts about 3 to 5 times a year on stuff that should go to the body shop. That's why we have those accounts for very long. But I don't see, as long as other techs are going in there lowballing each other, there's no future in that. I mean, the cars are down in San Diego, they're down to $35 for the whole car.
Right? No way.
Oh yeah, it's horrible.
I had no idea. Oh my God. It got down to about $100 here. And I thought that was my ticket to get out. You know, I'm just like, wow. So I got rid of the dealerships first. I had 30. I had 7 guys running around with their heads chopped off, taking care of 30 dealerships. And I thought the money was great. And what was happening was it was getting lower and lower and lower. And what would happen, and it's probably happened to you, Mike, is that you come in on a Monday morning, you've been rolling with that company for 12, 15 years, and the used car manager said, you know, who are you? Who are you in this chair? You know, and the guy's like, I just moved up from the Nissan dealership and now I'm a BMW guy, you know, and I'm sorry, because I love my guy that I've been working with for 12 years. You're out.
Right.
That's right. You didn't even do anything wrong. No. So you just lost a $30,000 a year account that you serviced the hell out of forever. And in 1 year, it happened 3 times. I lost like $90,000 and I didn't even, no fault of ours. And I just said, what the hell am I doing? You know, making these guys look good. The last thing I did, Mike, was about 6 years ago, and I had a really great smash at the office, and it was like a $500 dent. And I was working away, and a phone rang, and it was Sears and Portage, which is a big Mercedes dealership by me, and it was the service writer, and he had like a $200 dent, and I had to quit what I was doing there. Run up there, you know, I got pulled in 20 different directions. It took me like 4 hours to get back. And while I was getting the purchase order from the service writer, he puts in $400 to the customer, right? So, because it was a customer's car. And I'm like, you know, I've known you stepping on ship. I had no idea that you were doubling, you know, 100% markup. And then I got home that night and I said, honey, something's wrong. I don't like this. She goes, well, it's because they marked it up. I go, no, it's not that. I don't know what it is, but I can't put my finger on it. I woke her up in the middle of the night, Mike. She thought the house is burning down. I go, honey, I got it. You know, and she's like, what? And I said, listen to this. I said, I don't know why it's taken me 20 plus years to figure it out, but that guy, when he picked this car up, loved it. I know he did. We glassed the thing. It was through a body line. It was a good dent. So he's going to tell all his friends, or in 3 to 6 months when he needs another dent done, he's going to go, wow, they do really good work over there at that Mercedes dealership. So I had this epiphany. I'm making all these dealerships, and my guys are making these dealerships look great. We're not building on our skill level. Right. We're not making DentCraft any better. We're actually making it worse because they're realizing we're going to go there because they are good at what they do. Well, they don't know they called in a guy, you know, to do it.
And they get all the credit. They
get all the credit.
They get all the credit. And then I love it when people go, oh, no, I'm going to take it to the dealership. And they don't know half the time. The dealership it either could be or someone that's a lot worse. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get, you know. And going back to your point about you lost 90 grand. See, I hit this point too on a past podcast. And I said, I don't want dealerships taking control of my future. I just don't want to do it. Retail, right. I can do it. Retail, if it's slow, I go and hustle and I can create and I can, advertise, do what I can. But I'm not going to wake up one day and lose, you know, $100,000, $300,000 in 1 year because a manager says, oh, I got my guy. You know what I mean? Or a big dealership like Penske comes in and buys five of your lots, right? And brings all in-house people.
Just had that happen here. Yeah. Penske. Yeah. Deep pockets, right?
And they are all in-house. Penske is all about in-house.
Yeah. They're changing everything, you know. They really are. But they don't do the big smashes like you and I do.
No,
you
know hell I mean? No. But hell they, no. They're paying that guy's salary. No way.
You're right. Exactly. So. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, here we go into new tools. So I want to talk about, and I've touched the base on a little bit, but man, what do you think about these Standliner tools, man?
I it's really funny when we were at PDR College, when we met, we actually met like 15 years ago too, but it was at an MT show and I was babbling with you, but it's just funny. When I first saw that pirate hook, I don't know about you, Mike, but I was like, that's not a tool. Are you kidding me right now? That doesn't work. You know, how can that work? I've been around the block, but I'm open to it. And then I saw what Kaz was doing with that thing and I couldn't wait to get one in my hands. And I saw Bryce's great post and all the above. And it's pretty amazing.
It really is. I didn't get a chance to get that one. I wanted that one, but I got to stop listening to Thomas. Cause I called Thomas. And I'm like, hey, I want that Pyrex. No, Mike. I got something better. I'm going to send you the 18-inch new one. I was like, all right, cool. I get it. And it's like tiny and I can't use it as much as I want to on the other one, you know. Okay. He sends me a different one. But anyways, I just got the spoon tool. Or not spoon. Is it? No, the sword tool.
This guy. Yeah. I did bring it home. This thing is crazy awesome. Now, we talked earlier today or yesterday, and you have the 30 inch, and this is the 40, but I didn't know what you were telling me about the green handle and the hologram was anything different. I learned something there.
Yeah, that's the OG. It's like the legit made by Kaz himself.
Supposedly. So interesting. This thing is a driver. It's got some weight to it, doesn't it? It does. It's really hefty, you know. And if you can get something on this, you know, it's out, you know, in no time at all.
You put it to sleep. How did you like it?
I love it. I've used it so many times. This rounded tip to me, if I didn't know this was such a great tool, I would look at that and say, I would want mine more squared off. I would like to use both corners of the tip of that tool, you know. Wrong again, you know. I gotta be open, right? Yeah. And it improves itself really well. So,
and if you guys are trying to visualize what tool we're talking about Kaz tool. It looks like a flare tip, like a blade tip tool, really shaved down blade tip tool. Bryce was using one of those on a quarter panel, just a nasty smash. He was finishing it out with that. It is legit. It's super high polished, very hefty.
It's amazing. It really is. These things are made so well. So well.
Yeah.
No flex at all. Zero flex.
Have you had a chance to use the killer whale tool too?
You know, I haven't. I don't have one of those yet. I'm actually waiting for Thomas to get those to me with a couple other ones.
Oh, you're going to love that. That thing just dollies
out. I saw your video on that. Yeah. That was so cool. You brought that crease up so well. It was like, wow. And it seemed like you did it in like 3 to 5 minutes. It was like, what? You know?
I know. And I'm not even that good. And so.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. So,
I think it just, that goes to my point now going into like the new theft. I think, and you said this already, I think techs today have it so much effing easier, man. I mean, they got resources, they got the tools, they got the glue, they got the tabs. I mean, everything is improved all the way around to these type of tools. I mean, it's
true,
stupid.
True. It's stupid cool. And I do a month training for my guys and that I train, and they're so good after, you know, that month. I remember sending guys free after a month, like even a short 10 years ago. I'm like, God, I hope they can make it. You know, I mean, honestly, you know, and now they're making stuff really good. You know, it's taken them a long time to glass a quarter size dent, but they're making it look really nice when they're walking out of there at 4 weeks. And I'm like, good for you guys.
Come on. You got to imagine like us in 4 weeks. You know, I trained with my stepdad. Oh. I don't even call that training, but 4 weeks, man, I'm still trying to find my tooltip, really. I mean, like half the time, you know?
I just remember hearing those in that old paint when you and I started. I remember you could hear it. It was like snapping your fingers when it cracked.
Yeah.
You know, it was thicker.
Yeah.
You could be across the room with another dent guy and go, oh man, sorry.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It was, especially those. You know. I remember working on a Ferrari thinking it was the same kind of paint, you know, as normal. Oh, and I'm pushing, and this is before I used heat, you know. I'm in the morning. I was like, oh, snap. I'm like, what the hell, man? I was just so bummed, man. And for a long time. And for the longest time, I'd do motorcycle tanks. I was not afraid to do anything.
Yeah.
It's just, man, I have to say, man, I was like a hack, man, because I just went out there and did it. Of course, I didn't have the knowledge, you know. I didn't know, you know.
We didn't know what we were doing.
I cracked the paint on motorcycle tanks. I'd have it out, and I'm like, man, this is it, make it or break it right here. If I would have just put heat on it, it's over, right? But I I popped the paint. I cleared.
Didn't know. No. We didn't know.
No.
I remember the very first time. And I want to hear about yours too. The first time this Worth guy walked in. We just finished a hail car, and it was probably late 90. I'm not sure. It was in the 90s for sure. And I was about ready to send the rails, because it was hail, to a body shop. Because back then, they were all boxed in and you couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Guy walks in with the Worth, you know, the glue puller, first time I ever saw it. I'm like, that ain't going to work. It ain't going to work, you know. And he goes, oh, yeah, no, I've heard a lot of good things about this, you know. And I said, I'll tell you what, man, if you can move that dent on that rail, I'll buy that freaking kit from you. How much is it? He's like, $385. I said, I don't care if it's $1,000. If you can move that metal. He wasn't a dent guy. He teepeed that thing, Michael, so bad that it was up, you know, it was up so far, and he turned white. He was about ready to puke. And I go, I'll buy it. And he's like, are you kidding me? I just ruined it. You know? And I go, no, watch this. And I had my hammer and I tapped it down. And I go, I want it, you know, and I mean, it was amazing.
I remember seeing the same thing at a body shop, and I go, what is that? Is that what do you have with that? He's all, this is that glue puller. He goes, but it doesn't work. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. It doesn't work. He goes, you can have it. And I go, all right, well, I'll take it, you know? And
oh my gosh,
man, hold on a second, Dom. But I used it, and I was like, this doesn't work. It's crap. But I never threw it away. I kept it in my garage. And then I was on Dorting.com, and guys, like, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Terry Siegel or Tom Price. I can't remember who it was, but they were swearing up and down, yeah, we got the dent out with the oozing glue. I was like, wait a minute, dude. Let me try something. So I go back to the drawing board, and it was all because I wasn't using it right. You know what I mean? But we're putting it on, right? And we're leaving it on too long or not quite enough. Yes. There, you know, there's today, there's a formula for this. There's a recipe on it, you know?
It's way better. Yeah. Remember that old glue would be, it like, you try to get it off with your fingers and it would like cut you, you know? It'd be like so bad. You know, it'd be like, oh my God, underneath my fingernails, you know? So bad. And then they had it where you'd heat it up and you'd use that Bondo scraper.
Yeah.
And you, it take you a week to get the freaking glue off. You know, we didn't know about, you know, denature was bad at the beginning, but once we found that, it came off, and now isopropyl's the bomb, and it's come so far.
What advice can you give to guys who are coming in, who are thinking about doing PDR, and then the guys who are, maybe they've been into PDR, what would you do? What do you think you would do if you were kind of new?
You know, I really think that you just need to find a really good, a good guy that will, you know, mold you a little bit. But I really believe, and I don't want to saturate the market any more than it is, but I really believe we're still ground floor, like we talked about a little while ago, you know, for good guys. You know, the guys that call me, I don't know about you, Mike, but I get calls all the time for training, and half of them, I actually talk them out of it.
Same here.
Because they're like, oh, I heard I can make $1 million. Like how fast do you think I can do that? You're like, you know what? You can't put the cart before the horse, and now you're not my guy. You know,
yep.
You talk to a guy that's like, it's a personality thing. I like humble. I like a guy that really wants to show himself, like, you know, saying, you know, he's had a little artisticness to him. You know, he's maybe really good at something. I ask him that usually when I'm, I feel like I'm the one that's interviewing them to train with me. I've totally changed. Before, I was like, give me your money, let's go,
yeah.
You know, and I've changed that the last 10 years. I'm more about really, if a guy's going to get into the business, let's do it right. Let's bring you methodically up. I think you are already making the right decisions for your asking your question, Mike, to come back to that. You know, I believe if you're going to be good for it, great. And if you're not, I'm really not interested. I believe that there's room for good guys. And you mentioned the mediocreness versus the good guys. And if you're just waiting to write the invoice at the end of the job, I don't want you in the field. I just don't.
I think it's very important for both student and instructor to have chemistry.
Absolutely.
You know, if they're eye to eye and they're on the same page, it just makes that training much better. But when you get a guy like you said that nothing against body men, but I get a lot of body men that
I do too.
And they're unfortunately one of the most impatient guys because they're used to slapping things and bondoing and, you know, da da da. And they think just because they're working with their hands that they, you know, I'm not just picking on these guys, but I'm just talking in general.
No.
My main thing is like, listen, anybody who's thinking about training too or whatnot, but if PDR, this is very, 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 if you want to be good, it is very hard to get good. Okay. To really, really push yourself. But here's what's going to probably determine if you're going to be a good tech or not. And if you're a tech and besides PDR, if you're a person that takes on tasks, right, and you finish them and it bugs you until you get it done, PDR is going to be good for you. It'll probably be a really good fit for you. But if you're the type that likes to quit and gets and gives up easy a lot on a lot of different self goals and things like that, and you know, you have no self discipline, and then this isn't going to be for you. I'll tell you that right now.
No, you're right. If you're an impatient person, you know, it's funny. He always says, everybody, and you hear it every day, you know, your client will say, oh, you know, I wouldn't have the patience for that. I don't think I'm a super patient person, but when I see every poke is something happening, that's not patience to me. I'm moving metal, and it's what I like to do. And so I know exactly what you're saying. You get a guy that's in training and he is not finishing. I shouldn't say that. He doesn't want to finish until he makes that better. I know, like in the first couple of days, I'm like, this guy's going to be good.
Yeah.
Because most guys are like, oh, doesn't that look good enough? That looks pretty good. Let's go to the next thing. You're like, dude, you're at 20%. You know, what are you talking about?
Yeah. You can't teach that part. You can't.
You're right.
They have to have that drive. You're right. 100%. Anything what would you do different, Don? From then to now, as far as being a tech, what would you do different thinking about like how you started?
You know, I feel like we've built such an awesome retail presence in the last 6-8 years. I've always had a retail shop, even when I first started, but I was always like 10%, 20%. And I always let all the dealerships command what I did. So now looking back, you know, hindsight, we're always 2020, but I would have Mike, I wouldn't have done that. I would have just done retail. I think I could have 5 shops by now, and I would be touching so many more people, and more people would know about paintless dent removal because it's always been hidden behind the dealerships and this and that and the other thing. No one even knows, you know, that PDR even exists. It's just unbelievable to me where people come in on a daily basis and say, God, where were you last year? I had a dent smaller than that. And I had it painted. You're like, we've always been here, but it's been the dealerships and the body shops that have really kept us down. And I believe that, we do work on about 3 Highline body shops that are really good because they actually care about the customer and they care about that original paint. So that works. But to do something different, to answer your question, I think I would have just went retail, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
I just do.
I think retail is where you're going to be appreciated the most. Yes, you're going to have to be on your game and you will have to be the best tech you can be to get in there. I don't think it is hard as people think in their heads, because back in the day, like I said, I was dent different, but to the customer, it was like, oh man, that was amazing. You know? And you know, right. I kind of knew still it wasn't as great as it could have been.
Sure. Yeah.
But as far as me being different, I think to answer my question is, I think I probably went after more of the adjusters and the insurance companies to educate them more about our service to get in there.
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm working on it super hard. I'm going into all the independent agents, and I had an independent, and this is for all you guys listening. This is a great tip for you guys. Independent insurance agents are like money in your pocket. You don't have to pay them. They get paid themselves by sending people to you. I didn't realize this. I think I shared this with you, Mike, but it was probably about 3 years ago. And I couldn't believe that I was even learning it for the first time. Guy comes in and he has hail damage on his RX, was it 350 at the time. And he had hail on the hood and the roof. And then he had a big smash, crease on the right front fender. The tailgate was a big, big smash. And a couple other things on the car. And he said, hey, I want to do this, but I want to use kind of my insurance money. I didn't know he was an insurance agent at this time. This is the funny part. He says, you don't see up there? I don't want to do the roof. You know, when people say that. So I say, I'm going to need it for a couple of days, man, you know, and he comes back and he picks it up and he comes in and he's all excited. He can't even, you know, contain himself. He's like, he had fun and he was in college and went to the bathroom and, you know, he was like, you know, I mean, it was like, what are you doing, dude? Calm down. He goes, you're going to send me to Aruba and I'm going to get cash prizes and this and that. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, Don, I didn't tell you this. I'm an insurance agent. I've known about, and there's so many out there right now that I'm running into daily. I knew about hail damage for paintless dent repair. I didn't know you could do creases. You had a smash. I had a tailgate quote for a replacement of $2,800 on this thing. I can't tell where the dent was. You know, you've done other things. You know, the hail looks great, and I knew it would, but I didn't know you could do all these other things. He says, you realize the more claims that I don't make, the more money I put in my pocket as an independent insurance agent. I said, no, I didn't know that. I had no idea, you know, probably time for a different podcast, but I've got so many different ways and angles and things that I've learned and ways to get in with these guys that is just making us, they're sending us stuff weekly, daily. And it's amazing. And I've only touched probably 15 of them around the area.
Well, we are definitely going to bring you back on. So enough, I'm going to bring you back on for one of those episodes.
Yeah, you bet.
I think you're 100% right. And actually, I know you're 100% right, because another adjuster told me the same thing, a writer, an insurance writer. Yeah. He says, yeah, the more claims or the less claims I claim or I have to claim, the more money I make at the end. So that means because I'm writing good claims. That's basically what it means to them. So
yes, for sure. So it's amazing when you think about it and the different things that we can do. So it's pretty amazing. I just think that we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg, you know?
No. Well, I just wanted to, that was good talking to you. I just wanted to see, what your thoughts were back in the day and present and what people need to do in the future. So,
absolutely.
I just like to give people a little bit insight. And this is obviously for anybody who's been in the PDR business, who's thinking about getting in the PDR business, or, you know, kind of like this, you know, they're kind of the middle of the road. You know, they don't know what direction or what they want to go do. You know, I think exactly. we've all been there, like you said. Yeah, you hit that light on the head with the dealerships and you're like, man, I'm going to go after retail. That's how I was when somebody said they'll do it for $50 a car. I lost a good Mercedes-Benz account and I said, that's it. That was in 2000. And I was like, I'm out, dude. I'm going to go for retail. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that it where they are now? They're at 35, even the Mercedes dealership.
No, they're bought by Penske now, but the guy's a salary and the guy who took the account for me, we're actually good friends now, but, he said that he still comes in and does the cleanup work because the guy's on salary. He doesn't do anything really crazy hard. And that's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't do body lines or big smashes or anything like that.
Not for the $35. Well, yes and no. Again, they're technically between $35 and dent different. You know what I mean? So all the managers care about are the owners is like, hey, if it looks like you're saving money, I'm in, because if it's good enough for me to get it off the lot, I'm in. But
what do you feel about these guys that are doing this, Mike, that are actually accepting a $35 job?
I think they're gonna squeeze themselves out of a career. That's what I think, because how can you sustain that? You know, over the years, we were getting $150, $200, $300 for these cars, and that was still a dirt cheap bargain compared to the body shops and how long they would keep the car, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And now you're down to 10 times as low as it used to be. God. And it's supposed to go up. This is the only career that I see guys chopping down the prices in every category, including hail that they're trying to do. It's just ridiculous. And the only place that's really left to prove that your quality and worth your value is the retail market, because customers at the end care about quality more than a cheaper price. If you explain it to them, if you can justify why your service holds a lot of value, you know, so. That's what my take on that.
Yeah, so true. I don't know if you use this, but I've just started using this, and guys out there, if you probably do it too, but I'm really having a lot of luck with people lately when you're talking to them about the repair and they're saying, well, geez, I can get it painted for that, right? Or whatever. And because we're getting up this Paul Gordon and this mobile, you know, this thing's amazing, even amazing me, you know, and there's a method to it. You bring it in now instead of, I think about how many things I lost, right? You walk out in the parking lot, ask me $300. What? You know, but you bring it in, you measure it, you put it into the computer, and all of a sudden it's $700 and you're like, let's do it. And you're like, wow, you know, that's pretty amazing, right? Yeah. So for me, it's pretty crazy. But then when you get up there $700, $800, $900, they're like, well, I can paint it for that. I can do this. So I've been using this and I'm getting these aha moments with people. And I think we all say it kind of maybe virtually the same. I've never been around you guys in the business field other than just being out somewhere. But I'm saying to people, you know, that original paint, when your car was painted at the factory, it was just a shell, ma'am or sir. And the adhesion of the paint was amazing. They baked it at 1,000 degrees plus, you know, it was, the bond is crazy good. So, you know, when you repaint something, you probably don't realize this, but they painted it at about 120 to 160 degrees. And if they went any hotter, your wiper blades would melt off your car. Okay, because before it was a shell and the bond is crazy, you know, and here in Minnesota, we have some rust. So I usually say, you know, you could see an old rusted out Camry and chances are that if there was original paint on the hood, ma'am or sir, there's not going to be any chips up there. But I said, I guarantee you, if you haven't noticed it, maybe next time you walk through a Target parking lot or something, when you see a bunch of chips on a hood, that's been repainted. Yeah. That's the difference between paintless dent repair and the other. So people they get the aha moment. They're like, oh my God, is it that much better? You know, and you're like, yeah, think about it. It's just a shell. They can bake it. We can't melt your wires and your interior and your dash when you're baking it at 1,000 degrees. You have tires on, you know, this type of thing. And they go, oh, and they always sign up right after that little speech.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because you know why it works though, Don, is because you're justifying it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're justifying it. Paul's a good sell on that. And it does make sense if you got to justify it, you know?
Yeah.
It does crack me up too when they tell me, oh, I can get it painted at the body shop. And I'm like, why do you think a body shop is much more superior than PDR? Because we are saving your original paint.
Yes.
Why would you want to get it repainted? And right. and then I would go into the spiel of what you're saying.
Carfax too, right? I mean, I always follow it up right then. I say, you know, and then if you use your insurance, you know, your car is the car of the Carfax, and it's gonna hurt you. It's like a tattoo on your forehead. You know, you go to sell that car, someone's gonna say, oh, well, I can see the whole right side's been painted. Well, yeah, it was just a little dirty. Oh yeah, after you wrapped around telephone pole, I'm not gonna buy your flipping car.
Yeah, you know? Let me give you the cons. You know, yeah. Let me give you the pros. Paintless damper care is gonna save your factory finish. You're done in a few minutes or a few hours, and you get your car back, and you're all happy. The other way, you paint it, you make an insurance claim, or you pay a lot more money than what we're doing. You're going to have to be away from your vehicle for 2 or 3 days. That's if they're fast, but more likely 5 to 10 days. You're going to have to, it's going to go on Carfax report. Do you have rental car insurance? Oh, no, you don't have rental car insurance? Oh, sorry. Well, you got to do that. Oh, you want to Uber it? But how expensive does that get? That's $40 a day back and forth, no matter what. That's if you go to a place. It adds up. And people are like, yeah, you're right.
you got to schedule an appointment tomorrow? Can we do that? Let's get on your schedule. I love it.
Well, Donna, we're going to wrap it up, man. I just wanted to say thanks for coming on, man. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I was honored to get the chance to do this. So this is my very first. I'm no longer a virgin on the podcast.
It won't be the last, man. It won't be the last. We'll come on and do part two about, we'll talk about the adjusters.
The insurance. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. So thanks. Have a great weekend. All you guys out there, keep pushing, man. That's all what it's all about. So, we believe in you, and you're as good as your worst guy in your field or around you. So try to separate yourself and just keep pushing. You know, take on the stuff you don't think you can do. Honestly, that's the only way you're going to get better. When you say you can't do something, you're right. You can't. So don't take on that persona. Just really push yourself to that next level. I tell my guys that, and I mention it to you guys. So just be humble and keep pushing.
Great advice, Don. Thank you. All right, guys, we are out of here. I'm Mike Toledo along with Don
Cavanaugh.
Right? Yeah. I'm bad with names, man. All right, we out.
See you guys.